Jude. I just realized something earlier when I was studying this morning that hopefully we'll have time to get to, that it is so fundamental that I had just assumed that everybody had known it, and it struck me that no one knows it. So let's hope we get there. Yesterday we studied through verse 2. Well, actually, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. Actually, it says, as we've talked about, it's preserved for Christ Jesus. And called. Called is the word, it's a great word. I lost called. Oh, there it is. It's where it's supposed to be. Called is the word kletos. And it's the word that's used when someone is invited to a banquet or to a party. So that when we are called, that's our wedding invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, to the Feast of Tabernacles. And the rest of the time in life is to make sure you have on the right garment. And the right garment is the righteousness and rightness only of Jesus Christ and not of you. So I thought that was a fascinating way to look at it.
That has a different connotation. It's you're invited. You don't have to come. But you are invited.
Amen.
What is it? We said that church means the called out ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. This is kind of interesting. No, it's very interesting. Mercy precedes grace in the order of God. In the thought of God, in the mind of God. Now, why is that so important? Mercy is mercy, tender mercy, care, thought for the welfare of, compassion. But grace is charism, and grace means unmerited favor. Now, mercy and grace, it was necessary in God's mind for there to be mercy first and then grace, but the way it's manifested to us, it's grace first and then mercy. Now, that sounds weird, but it's God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He so loved because of His mercy that He gave His Son, grace. Mercy, grace. But the way we apprehend it, we have to apprehend it from the standpoint first of the unmerited favor, grace, in order that we can receive mercy. You understand? Now, the problem is that a whole lot of people don't understand this subtlety. And so, guilt must be done away with before misery can be fixed. Now, in other words, many of you are plagued still by guilt at a deep, deep level. And the guilt causes all kinds of things to happen. Guilt causes things we've talked about many times. You sabotage yourself. Guilt causes you to lie. Guilt causes you to to do all kinds of just stuff that doesn't make any sense. And so therefore, the misery, the lack of peace of mind still manifests itself. It's still there. Again, in God's mind, it had to be mercy first and then guilt. But in our apprehension, mercy first and then grace. But in our apprehension, it has to be grace first and then mercy. Now, I felt comfortable using a singular person as an example.
Well, feel free to use Gary.
Huh?
See, I keep thinking, I'm back 3 minutes ago, I keep thinking of mercy. I think of it this way. God should kill me at first sight and doesn't. That's mercy. And then the fact that he allows me to continue to exist makes it possible to give me grace. But I can't see that because I have to see the grace first in order to be safe enough and get rid of all the defenses and see accurately that I should be obliterated.
Right.
That I've received.
Right. Well, you just happened to be the one I was going to talk about. Huh?
Been my job for 20 years. Unfortunately, last year, Clyde died.
Think of it. The way Harry described his life is the way, in my opinion, a huge number of people who call themselves believers live. They believe and know that they deserve to die, that they are, in psychobabble terms, they have low self-image or low self-esteem. And so it's only the mercy of God that allows them to exist even in the state of misery. And so they keep going, wanting to get delivered. They want to have a magic pill. They want to learn something that will immediately solve all their problems. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
Never heard that.
Huh? Never heard that before? Guilt must be done away with before your misery can be assuaged. So in our apprehension, if we try to apprehend it the way of God's mind, then we try to have mercy first and peace and love be multiplied. But we missed out. Mercy is mercy just allows me to continue living, to exist. Mercy, it's only when we apprehend the grace and the grace that caused us to be able to be totally and completely forgiven, to know that God has wrought every work in us, to know that everything is exactly as it should be, can we then understand and have mercy completely manifested within us? Let me see if I can describe it. When I look at Shannon by my natural eyes, she seems to be totally and completely, she'll never have a life because she seems to be totally and completely what's the word I want? useless to mankind. She's just a weight on everybody. But when I see her with the eyes of God, then she, in her, where she is and how she is, without doubt, because she is the weakest, she may be far more important than any of us can ever imagine. Far more important than Billy Graham or maybe even Paul or one of the apostles because of her weakness.
Because she's a picture of being accepted.
But there is no... I don't believe she may never have the capacity for self-awareness.
Yeah, you might just want to say she's profoundly disabled.
She's profoundly disabled. She weighed, what, a pound and a half or something like that at birth? But I mean, there is the picture. If you can see that what is valued to God isn't what is valued to you, then you can see maybe that the things that you've been judging yourself about not being or not fulfilling may be the most valuable thing there is to God. And so that you can finally accept the grace in order to apprehend the mercy. You know, I've tried everything else. I've talked about how much it's an insult to God for you not to accept that you have been forgiven. But that doesn't work. Something else is missing in the component. John Bojo and I have been dealing with this. He may be the worst victim that either one of us have ever seen. And I won't go into this because he's not here and you don't know him. But he is the most religious person you've ever met. But he is a victim of everybody and everything. So he is eaten, chewed up, consumed with guilt. But he runs around and proclaims the mystery of God, or tries to. But what he is speaks so loudly that I can't hear what he says he is. Now, contrast him with Shannon, and maybe you can understand. Contrast somebody that you've seen as totally and completely self-righteous when everything about them screams out that they're a blithering idiot. I don't think we have to name any names. Then, see that contrasted with Shannon. And the idea that there is nothing, absolutely nothing about you that you have any reason not to accept now. Not to... You must accept the forgiveness of God. You must see. You must. All of the voices that told you how bad you were and how evil you were and how worthless you were when you were a child, they served their purpose. They got you here. Now you don't have to listen to them anymore. Now you are perfect in God's eyes. You are exactly what He wants you to be. You are totally and 100% forgiven by His blood. The reason you're forgiven by His blood is now your blood. And the life is in the blood. The old you that you hated, that you thought was crap, that you were afraid always that you're going to be exposed, is dead. It's in the grave. Now there's a new you that is exactly as it's supposed to be. There's not even the slightest reason to condemn yourself ever again. Now that's when you've apprehended God. You remember how this started? God had to have mercy first and then grace. We have to see grace first and then mercy. Am I communicating to anybody?
I hear some baptism in this. If your baptism is
Well, of course.
Apprehended, real, then you move into this realm. That your baptism was just something you did to be.
It's funny you should talk about that. Well, because you're still plagued by these images. And that's keeping you, in many ways, in an infantile position. The plague by the images of your past, your family, your... I mean, it's just... And it's funny. I mean, Harry's exactly the same way. indifferent. But you don't have to... It's like those are... They're gone forever. Alex is plagued by the same thing. Jim... plagued by the same thing. Ronnie is plagued by the same thing. There's something about you that can't be forgiven. It's so deep inside you that if anybody saw it, you'd be hated. So you have to always be on guard. You have to always tiptoe through life to make sure that this thing isn't revealed. But in the state of the worst that you can imagine, God so loved that He gave. Now, what does that word mean? What does love there mean? While we were yet sinners, while we were in a state of absolute enmity to God, He gave. He gave that which was most precious, that which was most complete, that which was most perfect. And if anybody here has any problem and any understanding what I'm talking about, you have to see this film, The Passion of Jesus Christ, by Mel Gibson. It's your homework assignment. Because if there is anything left that you think you need to be punished for, that you think you need to sabotage yourself about, then it should be gone after seeing that movie. Now, the word love there, when it says in John 3:16, this is what I, where, I guess, so I got 6 minutes left to talk about this. Let's stay in mercy and grace.
Yes, no.
Gary, you're mad at me.
No.
Or something at me. You're something. You left the room a few minutes ago.
I don't think so. I was just enjoying being here, actually.
He's under the influence.
That's what I was thinking about, how morning meeting puts you in a, you know, separates you from the world.
To me, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that movie, because that's exactly what I was thinking about. But what you're talking about, I have a feeling, is going to come crashing into my protected universe when I see that film, because even just seeing some of the previews, I've started vibrating apart just seeing 30 seconds of footage. And I said something the other night, and I just remembered it. I heard myself say something that I think that for me that film is going to be the second bookend, because I don't know if I've said anything in here or not, but I think the event that I can point to that got me here was seeing The Exorcist. That movie changed my life. I had to believe in the devil before anything.
The danger in separating this out is is that you may start thinking that grace and mercy are two different things, but they're inseparable. But I'm just talking about how what had to happen first in the mind of God. There had to be first mercy. in the mind of God so that grace could be manifested. But the way we apprehend it, we must first apprehend grace so that mercy can be apprehended. And it's so critical that if it isn't seen in its fullness, you will walk around like a cripple, spiritual cripple, stunted in your understanding of the mystery. Because the little thing over here, it may not say it in words, but it'll say it in unconscious actions and thoughts and activities. That you know, something is wrong. Large print giveth, the small print taketh away. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. A sense of anxiety and dread about life instead of the joy and fulfilling of being who you are chosen in Him. And walking around in this sort of, you can spiritually see it, it's stunted. And it's time for that to stop. It's time that the full apprehension of who He is and who He is in you is manifested and revealed. So there's no more dragging of this crap with you. The old man. There's no part of that that has any influence over you. As I was talking to somebody last night, the idea that there is anything in the universe, anything in time and space, that could cause you to leave peace is the slightest resentment. If there's the slightest judgment, if there's the slightest place of unforgiveness, it means that this thing hasn't apprehended. This thing, this mystery of grace and mercy hasn't been manifested totally in you because there's something that you kept as yours.
Rickshaw, multiple rickshaws behind you, like trains.
Caravan.
Caravan of rickshaws.
Calling on multiple personalities.
Well, Isaiah talked about this in Isaiah 5. He said, you sin, as it were, with a cart rope, dragging this baggage that is doing nothing for you. It's just weighing you down. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Because it's finished. The war is over. I wish we had about 3 more hours, but we don't.
I remember when we first started meeting together, that was sinning with a cart rope, that scripture was like, was huge. And we spent a lot of time on it, and it was like completely out of left field for, you know, all of us. We've never seen it like that, and it's just like, you know, that I think that's why that image so easily comes to us. It's
just
pulling all this stuff. When I was in high school, there was a deal called, I think it was called an exergeny or something. And all it was a rope that was pulled through a something you'd hook on the wall, and you'd just increase the pressure on the friction early on the rope, you know, and you could make it however resistance you wanted to do your little exercise. And that's what this is. It's like we're pulling this rope, and it's got this friction is turned way up, and we're just, why is life miserable?
Yeah,
let's drop the rope.
Anyone else? Now you are complete in Him. You've been perfected by one offering. If anything tells you anything different, it's a lie. And those lies can't be given breath, because if you believe the lies that your mind is telling you or that your past is telling you, then you're loving your mind more than God.
Who are we going to believe? Our mind saying that we're one way, or God is saying it's forgiveness.
Like in court, if the judge says, due to this evidence, the case is dismissed.
Right.
And then the defendant keeps going.
Yeah.
But I want to be guilty.
Case dismissed.
But you're wrong.
All righty, take it, big guy.